in Jesus' precious name. I welcome our pastors who have come from both outside the town and those from within Abuja. We appreciate you. Give the Lord a praise for them. We didn't particularly announce the celebration, but they are here, and all of those connected via the satellite and the internet, the Lord bless you. We have received so many text messages today, and it will be absolutely impossible to reply all text messages. Please, in case you don't get a reply, consider this as a reply. The Lord honor you, and the Lord bless you. And the Lord cause those around your life to honor you in Jesus' precious name. We trust God that this will be an impactful meeting, not just a religious event that will touch somebody's life. We believe that a single person here, a married person, a separated or divorced person, a mother, a father, will receive something today that will shift your life to another level. Someone trusting for the fruit of the womb will receive something that will change your life. This is from Mrs. Joy Abbo from FCT. It's a happy marriage anniversary, daddy and mommy. May God continue to increase you in Jesus' name. He said, I remember vividly during your last wedding anniversary, that's 16th April 2017. You made decrees and prayed for those trusting God for the fruit of the womb, which was the category I belonged to. To the glory of God, the yoke of barrenness was broken as I became pregnant the following month, May 2017. God delivered me of a bouncing baby boy in January 2019, 18, exactly 9 months later, which was 10 months after the decree. God bless you. Somebody here, by this time next year, if Jesus tarries to come, your testimony shall come like this. I said your testimony shall come like this. In Jesus' precious name. Very quickly, open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. And I will read from verse 22. Start from verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives as even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. I want to speak very quickly on God's will for marriage. God's will for marriage. Our objective is, one, finding God's will in marriage. Two, following God's will in marriage. Three, understanding measures for lasting marital harmony. First, finding God's will in marriage. Second, following God's will in marriage. Third, understanding measures for lasting marital harmony. Before I go on, let me say three things that we should note. First, you may not need to write. This This is not a claim that we are perfect. That is, here is a perfect husband, and here is a perfect man, and here is a perfect marriage. I need to say that because the last time we did, I think, a Blessing Sunday or something, and I mentioned where I said, don't marry anybody because you pitied them, and was saying things like that. Somebody got angry and said, Mr. Perfect, Mrs. Perfect. You know, we live in a world where people want to look for who to blame for their failure. We have it. You must lack. What you are not happy about cannot happen for you. But basically, this is not a claim of perfection. Number two, it is not to claim that we have finished learning about marriage. Because as far as the journey of life is concerned, learning is endless. It's not that we have finished learning about marriage. We have not finished learning about ministry. We have not finished learning about destiny. No. Journey continues. Now say something sharply. Fourthly, this is not to claim that we have all the answers. But there is something else. A second set of things I want you to note. Why are we here? So if we claim we are not claiming perfection, if we are not claiming that we have all the answers and we have learned everything, what are we here to say? Number one, we are here to say what the Bible says. We are here to say what the Bible says concerning marriage, concerning harmony. And it is scriptural references that address spiritual human experiences. We are here to say what the Bible says. Second, we are here to say what we have learned from successful people over the years. And nothing reproduces success like success. We are here. Thirdly, we are here to say what we have proved by practice for 24 years. Proved by practice. And you must understand that examples are samples. Examples are samples. And evidence demands audience. And the man with the evidence can never be at the mercy of the man with an argument. If the person you are married to is the only person you spoke to concerning marriage and agreed to marry you, and you have married that person for 24 years, and people have not come to separate your quarrel, and you have not changed your mind, and you are not going to change your mind, then it is possible that there is something little you may have to say. Hello? It is possible that there is at least something little that a single person may learn, that even a married person may learn. So, deny reality is not humility. It's not humility. Reality must be accepted. So we are here to say what we have proved by practice. And finally, we are here to say or to testify to the help of God. Help that God has given us. What He has taught us Himself. That is why we are here. Not to claim perfection. Not to claim we have all the answers. No. This is why we are here. Now, why is the talk about marriage necessary? I am sorry. My own talk is going to be a bit different from our mother in the Lord's own. Her own, she starts scattering from the beginning. And everybody scatters. She's just dropping bomb, bomb, bomb. That's why the two are good. Two different parts. Now, why is talk about marriage necessary? Number one, there is an amazing level of confusion and lack of direction among the youths and singles in the area of finding the right partner. Amazing level of confusion. As a pastor, pastoring full time for almost 22 years, and counseling people many more years before that. Amazing level of confusion. So a man should have been married by now, a lady should have been married by now, if not for the confusion we are talking about. Secondly, there is an amazing level of misunderstanding of relationship dynamics. What I will call relationship dynamics and psychology. Among youths and singles, a level of misunderstanding. Young guys really don't understand how the mind of girls work. And young girls at times also misunderstand how guys think. So there is such a clash of mentality and psychology until you have a lot of conscious or unconscious heartbreaks. That is why talk about marriage is necessary. Number three, because there is an amazing level of struggle, tension, and frustration among married couples. Amazing level. Tension. Struggle. Tension. Frustration. One of our counselors in the counseling department came to tell me of how a marriage that was joined within 3 months, the wife is talking about divorce. And she was talking rightfully so. Because a marriage of 3 months, the marriage I'm talking about now is not 1 year yet. Because the man turned the wife into a punching bag. A Christian man. A church man. Less than a month into marriage. There is such a tension and frustration among homes that there are people, the only reason why they are still married is what will people say? Are you hearing me? What will people say? What about the children? What kind of testimony am I going to have? That is the only reason why some are still there. And this is not of God. This is not of God. Why do we need to talk about marriage? Finally, there is an amazing level of marital breakages. Call it marriage relationship failures, breakages, separations, divorce. With the consequent impact on all parties. Impact on mother, impact on father, impact on children especially. Amazing. The point of the matter is that we used to hear of divorce in those days only among unbelievers. The challenge now is that we are hearing of divorce among believers. Hearing of divorce among ministers. A pastor's wife sent me a text today. I asked her to rush and come and see us. Let's see what can be done. The husband took him to court today. Court. And according to her, lied against her to the judge and to the court. The church is the light of the world. If we are failing as the world is failing, what do we have to say? I took somebody on a tour today of the Lord's garden, a government officer in authority. The person was so amazed at what we're seeing. And I said, one of the reasons for this place is to show the system how to do things. How things can be done. The church is the light of the world. Why are we here? To talk about it, number five. There is an amazing level of satanic conspiracy against families and homes. Are you still interested? Families. That was why in the Garden of Eden, as soon as God declared Adam and Eve, man and wife, commissioned the garden, the serpent arrived immediately. Many of us thought that the fall of man was just a fall, but it was an attack primarily on the home. You don't understand that. First of all, Satan ensured that Adam and Eve were not together. Wherever Adam was, he didn't engage Adam. Secondly, when God created Adam and Eve, God seemed to have said, brought Eve to Adam. He said, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. It shall be called woman, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. After the temptation, he said, Adam, what have you done? He said, the woman you gave to be with me. That is number one, it is your fault. When I was on my own, nothing happened. Number two, I don't know that woman anymore. She's not bone of my bone anymore. You only gave her to be with me. The separation started. It was an attack on harmony and dignity. But I prophesy to somebody, every devil looking for you will never find you. Listen, the failure of your mother and your father shall not be reproduced in your life. Where your family members fail, you shall succeed. Say amen like a believer. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Have you gotten anything so far? I think that even if I stop here, we have already heard enough. But let's go on quickly. Why? What is the benefit of marital harmony? Why is it that we are not only meant to marry, but marry well? And married and have a marriage that works. Number one, Marital harmony provokes the flow of the oil. Marital unity and harmony, it provokes the flow of the oil. Actually, unity and harmony anywhere generates the anointing. Psalm 133 verse 1, all the way to verse last. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment that flowed down the head. It provokes oil. Show me a united family, a united marriage, and I show you an anointed home. Anointed marriage. There is a level of oil you may never see until there is a unity in the spirit. And this oil is needed to beat the head of the adversary. Number two, marital harmony multiplies potential and productivity. Giftings, graces are released. He said, two are better than one. She read it for us, Psalm 4 verse 9. For they have a good reward for their labor. Your potentials come out. In an enabling, harmonious family environment, your graces come out. Your giftings come out. Your flows come out. It multiplies potential, multiplies productivity. There is a limit to which a man or a woman can manifest grace and manifest potential if the harmony is lacking. Number three, marital harmony guarantees answered prayers. Quicker answers, quicker results. In 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7, he said, dwell, likewise you husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. He said there is a way you and your wife will live that can accelerate expedite prayers. And there is a level of confusion between you and your wife that can hinder your prayer requests. You are saying, Lord, send us finances. The devil is saying, don't send them anything. They are quarreling every day. They are shouting at each other. That was number what? Number four, marital harmony impacts the destiny and future of children, either for good or for bad. Impacts the destiny and future. Okay, marital harmony impacts the destiny of children positively. Because we are talking of harmony. It impacts the destiny of children positively. Malachi chapter 2 verse 15. The Bible said, God said, why did he make the two one? Yet he had the residue of the spirit. Whereunto one? He said that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit and let no one deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. Do well. Because of your children. What are we talking about? When children grow in an enabling, positive family environment, they are positivistic, enthusiastic, optimistic. They don't fear for the future. They can see future already happening around them. Am I communicating? There are some children that I came across a family. Where the woman is trying to leave the man. He said the man looked too much like her father. Yeah. Because of whatever she must have passed through growing up or what the mother passed through. Said the husband is always reminding her of the father. The way the father brought. There are girls who are afraid to marry because of what their mother suffered. And it has been confirmed that 60%, over 60% of prisoners in America were young men and women who came out of broken, scattered, bad homes, or no home at all. That is why when a man is very wicked to his wife, he doesn't know what he's doing to his children. He's laying down a generational pattern, except for divine intervention. He doesn't know what he's doing to his daughters, especially women, and so on. So it's very, very important. Marital harmony impacts the destiny of children positively. Number 5. Marital harmony contributes to personal fulfillment, satisfaction, and health. See a woman that is loved, cared for, taken care of in a good home, is bouncing, excited, jubilant. See a man that is having a good time in his home, no headache from wife. He's excited. In fact, they look finer, look younger, look healthier. But some woman has ulcer, husband problem, hypertension, husband problem, arthritis, family problem, headache, migraine. Fine woman turned into a shadow of herself because of who she married. Energetic man turned to a shadow of himself, afraid to go home after work because of war waiting at home. World War V. Say, oh God, have you come home? So like I was saying last night, let's start from there. Like I was saying last night, you think the matter has finished? It has not now. We are just starting. Why at times I wonder why some people are satisfied with frustration. If you are a man and you don't want your wife to be happy, what will make you happy on earth? If you are a woman and you don't want your husband to be happy, what will make you happy on earth? Any child who said, mother should not sleep, me to be awake to fulfill that vision. The vision of keeping mother awake. Since it is a vision, be awake. Personal fulfillment. Satisfaction, health. Number 6, marital harmony contributes to success in life's pursuits and endeavors. Success. The woman is extra successful at work because she was happy from the home. The man is extra productive under his manager because he was happy from the home. But you have a situation where a guy is telling his secretary, madam, you are too absent-minded these days. Is something the problem? Madam, the level of mistakes you make in assignments, they have multiplied. Are you all right? I'm sorry to use the name. Michael, Thomas, Jimmy. Any name? What is happening to you? Do you need 2 weeks off work? Hey, Jane. Come on. Wake up. Then they give him 2 weeks casual leave. Or 1 week. The next one is terminal leave. Why? Something is pinching one part of his leg and his whole body is on fire. You don't know?
that frustration in the home translates into distraction in the workplace. Frustration in the home translates into distraction in the field. Even there are times that women take their anger out on the children. The husband said, if you do what you did last time, I will deal with you when I return back from work. And he's a lion of the tribe of his family. And the wife knows it's not threatening. It's a promise. The wife is aware that that is not a threat. It was a promise. I'll deal with you as I come back from him. And he has always been fulfilling his promises in that regard. So the son is coming. Say, mommy, mommy, mommy. Say, shut up. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Poor boy is wondering what I do. Mommy, what I do? Leave here now. Transferred aggression. Something not working somewhere. It is entering another area. I prophesy to somebody. That kind of frustrated home. My God and your God will help you never to experience that. And everyone in such a situation right now, my God and your God will give you deliverance. Deliverance. Shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen. Number 7. Marital harmony contributes to a healthy sense of self-worth, self-value, self-image, self-esteem. A healthy sense of self-worth, self-value, self-esteem, self-image. You feel good about yourself. If your wife feels good about you. If your husband feels good about you. You don't move about with inferiority complex. And you know that confidence guarantees competence. You don't move about feeling like see, people are better than you. I pity those women and those men that find themselves in terrible abusive situations. Where the woman is so sharp-mouthed. Say, look at you. Are you a man? Are you a man? Pull that trouser and wear skirt. Men are talking, you are talking. Terrible. Terrible. I would have spoken more if we're only it's a married couple's meeting. So only in the night you know you are a man. Are you a man? There are people like that. And there are people, men that have finished their wives. Say, so you, mobile liability. Burden emotion. Say, so since I married you, everything went bad. Did you know me before I married you? I was succeeding before. Look at you. But I didn't know what I did to God before he allowed me to marry you. And this young lady is moving about as a shadow. No confidence. I am not good enough. There are those who insult their partners on special bodily matters. Terrible. If it's a man, he's emasculated. If it's a woman, it just loses her femininity, the dignity of a woman, because of being married to a man. Listen, the worst thing you can do to any human being is to destroy their value for themselves. Value for themselves. You may not value them, but don't kill their own value for themselves. It doesn't matter what you feel about them. It's your feeling, but don't push it into them. Don't. It's the same with children. You don't destroy. That is one of the greatest possessions of any man. One great thing our mother did for us, instill such a rugged sense of value in her children. Oh. Very rugged. Beloved brothers and sisters, this is why you must have a marriage that works. And as a single girl, single man, starting from there, I'll be rounding off soon. Have I talked too much? How many of you know that I have the right to be with my wife today and see nobody? Today is anniversary. But we have come to share from what help we have received. Hallelujah. I said this many times. Now, having said all of this, let me start with counsel for the single. And then I will go to counsel for the married. Very quickly, and I trust God to rush very, very fast. For every single person here today, please let me tell you, decisions that are not easily changeable must never be taken hurriedly. Decision. If it is shoe you wanted to buy, it didn't size you, you can change it. You bought a cloth, you didn't like it, maybe you can buy another one. And if you haven't really worn it, they can change it for you. But you marry a wife, you marry a husband, even if you wanted to change the decision, wahala day. It's not easy. So what is my counsel? The woman of God said many things. Number one, involve God in your search for a life partner. You know, the generation of our fathers or our robots, Kenneth Hagin, T.L. Osborne, or our robots, Kenneth Hagin, T.L. Osborne, Kenneth Copeland, and so on. That generation of people, Kenyon, and all of those kind of people, the matter and the Christian generation of that time, the matter of, I won't marry again, I'll marry another wife, was almost zero. Because there is something they used to call in those days, God's will in marriage. Hello? The woman of God just told us, today many people are just looking at each other. I like you. Me too, like you. Hey, like versus like. And they say, okay, why not? And they just assessed each other's container wise. Not all that glitters is gold, though. Everything inside water is not fish. Hallelujah. Not every woman you see is a wife. I am sorry. They can be wife, but some are not yet wife material. It's a woman. He has feminine anatomy.
feminine physiology, but not marital psychology. Am I communicating?
Yes,
on the other side, not every man is a husband though. Not every man is a husband. And for your information, there are women that are still girls. Big body, girl inside. There are men that are still boys. Grown up boy. He's a 45-year-old boy. Maturity is not a function of longevity. Maturity is a product of responsibility. Ay, 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 ay. Don't look for my trouble. That is why God must be involved. Involve God in your search. Proverbs 18:28. We read it just now. Proverbs 18:22. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor from the Lord. What is the meaning? Some people look at it and read it like the way the devil quotes the Bible at times. Because he normally quotes it halfway. That the Bible says, whoso findeth a wife, so be on, go and be on the lookout to find. I pass here, I find here, I find here. Some people have some theology that since God gave Adam wife, and then Adam said, it is a woman that you gave me, that gave me the fruit, that since then, God stopped giving people wives. Who said? It's an upside down theology. That from that day, God said, go and find for yourself. Lie, lie. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor. So if you read it from the back, it takes favor to find a wife. It takes favor from God to find a wife. It takes divine favor. God needs to favor you well to get a good wife. So you need to ask for that favor. Father, I need your favor to find the right wife. I need your favor to find the right husband. It takes favor from God to find someone to call a wife. I think that is death sentence to that theology now. In case you are in doubt, Proverbs 19:14, that one is more direct. Your father and your mother. Your father can leave you landed property. Houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers. But if it comes to wife, a prudent wife is from where? The same with a prudent husband. If it is inheritance, your father can hand it to you. If it is a wife, God gives you wife. That is why parents must never force their children to marry anybody. It is God who knows who is the wife and who is the husband. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. You know why? God knows your future. So he knows who can go there with you. God knows your emotion. So he knows who can accommodate it. God knows your weaknesses. So he knows who can balance it with another form of strength. God knows who can accommodate your personality. Because not everybody can accommodate you. There is somebody you marry, both of you can kill each other. Am I communicating? But when you see a person, you see them container wise. You don't know the package of what they carry. Very, very important. My wife complements my life in many ways. When I grew up as a child, I was very, very sickly growing up. Had a lot of convulsions. I don't know whether that was what dried my smiles. In those days, they told me, my mother and siblings told me that I used to smile once a year. That is on the average. Satan, they will call each other. He is smiling. See his teeth, they are white. Then when I became born again, spirituality took it to another level. Say, Brother Paul, good morning. Permanently tonguing. Good morning. Now, imagine I marry somebody like that. Fire. Two of us like that. Who will visit the house? But there was a humorous part of me growing up as well. I could, you know, and when someone who carried the other part came, he brought things out. As I was bringing things out of her, she was bringing things out of me. Because it is iron that sharpens iron. My personality was softened to a great extent. Am I communicating at all? That is why you require God to assist you. Me and my wife spoke to somebody the other day. The husband was slapping with us like abundantly. He said, talk to my wife. The wife was the exact opposite. Say, hello? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. How's your family? Oh, we are doing fine. That one, we summarized the call hurriedly. And my wife and I said, that is how God matches people. See, the woman, the man is the other side. And the woman is just like that. And God brought them together. Thank God the two of them were not. And we said, we thank God it's not the woman we spoke to first. Otherwise, we'd have concluded that all of them are like that. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? This is where people miss some things. Involve God in your search for a partner. Number two, my time is rushing. I don't know what to do. Marry the will of God. Number two, marry who you love. The woman of God has said it, and I'm re-echoing it. Marry who you love. Marry your friend. Or who you can be friendly with. Never you say that it is the will of God. Otherwise, I wouldn't have married that girl. Otherwise, I wouldn't have married that man. That is nothing like that. God is love. 1 John 4:8. If God is in it, love is in it. If there is no love in it, there is no God in it. I am saying it authoritatively. We talked with someone some time ago, a woman, who said that the husband told her that
He married her because God forced him to marry her. He said he had who he wanted to marry in his heart. But God, he couldn't resist God. And he was married to that woman for almost 20 years. But other women outside, end of it, whole thing scattered. He couldn't hold. Because someone said, you are not the one I wanted to marry. Never you marry with the mind of, this is not who I wanted to marry you. Please. Please. Because it is signature for failure from the start. Marry who you love. God can never force you to marry whom you don't love. Can I go on? It has been said, but let me reinforce it. Don't marry out of pity or sympathy. Don't pity anybody. So let me just marry her. She has suffered too much. Let me just marry him. Everybody has been saying no, no, no to him. Let me rescue him from this. That is, you hit the road. You know what they said? You hit the road running. You hit the road failing. That kind of marriage. Can I say another thing to you? Never marry anybody who feels they deserve somebody better than you. Say it again. Never marry anybody who thinks they are doing you a favor for marrying you. Never marry anybody who believe they are too good for you. No. Marry somebody who values you well, well. Value you correct, correct. Woman, marry somebody who is actually chasing you. Not chasing you for immorality, oh. He is after you. Because it is that pursuit that will continue in the course of the marriage. Are you ready to hear this? Don't marry anybody you had to encourage to marry you. You had to encourage him. Go ahead. Just go ahead. Let's just go ahead. You had to encourage her. From the scratch, you failed. As I am talking now, many of us are going to understand the reason why there is so much failure around you. Never manage to marry. Marriage is not so that you can manage to live. Am I communicating? Anyone that you are going near, say, you see, I saw many men before you came, but I have to consider you. On your mark, get set, run. There are many girls even begging me, but I just decided to choose you. Run! Number one, he is a lie. Number two, he will show you pepe. Marry. Third point. Marry lovers of God. People with a God-first mentality. with a God first mentality. Lovers of God. Lovers. My wife says, any man who greets God will greet his wife well. Any man who respects God genuinely will respect his wife. Any man who loves God will love his wife if he's genuinely loving God. Am I communicating? Marry lovers of God. And this is where you also need the help of God to find out lovers of God. Because there are so many pretenders. Say, brothers, lift up your voice and let us pray. You saw him in church. You say this brother is a firebrand. Firebrand. This is the kind of person I want to marry. He will kill the devil for me. And without your notice, it's a terrible person. Wicked inside. Untruthful. Liar inside. It's just shakapapapa. Shakapapapa. I've seen such people before. I've seen them plenty. The man that was beating his wife, that the wife wanted to leave him under 1 month. The marriage counseling man told me, say, he was the most gentle in the class. In the marriage class. The most gentle. In fact, if it was possible, you could have been given an award. In the class as the best behaved, gentle in that premarital class. Very quiet, calm. Spirit looking. And began to beat his wife under 4 weeks. There are sisters that are like that too. Sister Mercy, how are you? The Lord is good. Shakala bada bala bada bada. Soko praka taka sheke praka toko shaka. Well dressed, extra long skirt. Head covered, ear covered. Just you marry her one day, yeah man. yeah man, I will show you that you see something. Don't joke with me. Say, sister, don't call me sister. Don't sister me. I'm not your sister. If I'm your sister, will you marry me? Take your seat. That is why I said, not everything inside water. Not everybody in church is a Christian. Judas Iscariot. Some people are used to say, but I found a sister in church. Not Judas Iscariot was in church too. Some people used to blame the church. I married in church. The man was even an usher. Judas was the treasurer. I married in church. Why should I? And I married in church. No. You cannot blame God for your insensitivity. You cannot blame God for your lack of perception. You can't blame God for lack of discernment. Not everybody in the barrack is a soldier. Some are relations of soldiers. Some went to sell things there. Some went to look for job. And you see some people coming to church. One man went to church and pretended that he was a Christian because he wanted to find a good Christian girl. So he pretended, just changed his behavior. And how are you? I'm fine. Then he didn't know that there was a girl who also came to church, pretended that she was a Christian, and wanted to find a good Christian man she can marry, and he can do anything he wants, and the man won't say anything, is a good Christian. So, how are you? The man found the sister, and they found each other. They kept on acting until they married. On the first day they reached the house, the man sent for a bottle of beer. I think the girl carried cigarettes. The man say, you are like that. He said, me too, I didn't know you are like this. That first day they beat the hell out of each other. You deceive me, you too. That was very wonderful. I like that. You came to deceive people to marry a deceiver. Another person deceived you and married you. Deceiver versus deceivee. I don't know about you, but I want this meeting to hold again. We can't say everything in one day. It's already 8:03, and I haven't talked to married people yet. Take your seat. Ooh. So you need, that is why you need the help of God. So that you can know who is real. Can know who is real. Number 4. Married people with similar vision, focus and passion. Now, before you go from there, the number 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 15. He said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Be not unequally yoked. That is, there are those who, apart from not marrying lovers of God, they went outrightly to marry unbelievers. Please don't ever assume that somebody who doesn't know God before he marries you, you can change them. You are not Holy Ghost. So you don't have the power to change anybody. I have seen people who tried that, they paid for it. Lovers of God. Lovers of God. Lovers of God. And then number 4, married people with similar vision, similar focus, and similar passion. What do you want to do with your life? Where do you see your life going? As you are going to get someone to marry, find out from them what is on their mind. Where are they going? What do they want out of this life? Different vision is the reason for division. Different vision. The D idea, if you put it in front of vision, it becomes division. It's a product of, it is diversion. Division. Bivision. Two people who are facing two different directions in life. Different passions breed confusion. You have a passion for business. The other person has no single passion for business. He wants to be in full-time politics. Or you think you have a passion for ministry. And the person, he said, I am a child of God, but I am not a pastor's wife. I am not an evangelist. I am not a prophet. I am not a prophetess. I am not an apostle. I am not an epistle.
Sorry. It was a Bible school student. They asked him to write on the apostles. And he wrote one line. Write on the epistles. He said, the epistles are the wives of the apostles. Just forget about it. You know how much it's been. So, married people. The reason why my wife and I, God has helped us in a little way to be the way we are, is because the passion is literally one. Before I met her, she had a passion, before we ever met, a passion for mission, a passion to serve God, if possible in the missionary field. And those kinds of passions, ambitions. Marry somebody who understands your language when you speak. If you are speaking one language, your husband is speaking another language, the house is called Tower of Babel. Tower of Babel. That was what made Babel. Language. Language. Passion. Vision. I know a woman who said, I married a pharmacist, not a pastor. Because the husband was a pharmacist that turned into a pastor. Another one said, I married a doctor, not a pastor. These two examples I gave led into marital breakage. The other one, the pastor's wife will sit in the congregation instead of the altar with the husband. He said, I didn't marry pastor. I marry pharmacist. I am not a pastor's wife. Ele? Are you following what I'm saying here today? So, here is when to settle it. Here, before. You are, like the woman of God said, you are putting the man leading questions to find out what is in their heart. You want to live in America. The girl does not want anything near America. That means you are approaching the wrong person. You don't have to force America into her. The person must have America in mind. When you met it, I'm thinking of green card. You say, me too. Do they have yellow card? Because it's in my mind to live. I say, oh, wow. We are talking alike then. Am I communicating at all? And then be careful. Marriage by correspondence. You have not seen the person, but you are talking on phone. You saw the person 1 week to the marriage. Wahala day. You will be shocked when you see the person. You will be shocked. I promise you. Because there are pictures that speak more than reality. And then you are hearing the voice over the phone and you saw the person. You say something, she reply. She behaves small. Say, brother, I did a problem. Somebody was crying at his wedding reception. He was crying seriously. His friend asked him, what is happening? He said, I just made a serious mistake. He said, which mistake? This marriage. At the wedding reception. Take your seat. The married people, I hope you are okay that I'm taking time with the singles. Because if it is repaired, we won't have too much problem in marriage in future. Marry people with your passion, your vision, your priorities, even your mentality, the way you think. The way you think. Hello? Is God speaking to anybody at all? My wife and I, by His mercies, I'm not saying that a person must be the same profession with you. But it is so much fun when I say something and she understands perfectly what I am saying. You have a master's in accounts. You have MBA, accounts and finance. You are a chartered accountant and can't be scattered by anybody. You are at such a level. Lady. And then the bros that is coming close to you. He has OND. Library science. There's no problem with his course. But there is where you are mentally. Here is where he is. Information transforms mentality. He may be older than you, but his reasoning capability may not be at par. Went ahead and married. When you talk, so I say, because you think because you have masters. And men can have ego. They know how to interpret what you haven't said. That is one of the things that men. That is why the man, you should do yourself the favor, if possible, by being a little bit ahead of who you want to marry. In one way or the other. Or in every ways. Spiritually first. You are in front. Mentally. Either at par. Or a bit ahead. Pocketically. The man said that is a major aspect. Pocket wise. Trust God. Just a little bit. Respect cannot be forced. It is earned. When my wife says, good morning, sir, she means it. Because she knows in many realms, God made me to pass on. And she is happy. And I brought her up, imparted her graces, imparted her gifts, and took her along. Am I communicating? There are some women that they have in their mind to say, good morning, sir. But their certificate became an iron rod. On the knee. Good morning, sir. It couldn't bend. Do you understand? The woman will say, good morning, sir. Morning, sir. Morning, sir. Morning, sir. This one said, morning, sir. Very, very important. Similar vision. And before the marriage comes close, agree. Are we living here? What? Ultimately, what is, agree. Let the vision be one. Let there be no confusion, either just before or after you have married. The man is saying one thing, the woman is saying another. Sorry for the time. What number are we now? Number five, marry people with whom you have peace, assurance. Don't ever be in a situation where at the thought of the person, your heart is running 100 miles per hour. Or you see him coming. Say, sister, how are you? Say, I am trying to be fine. Hello? Don't marry anybody whose voice frightens you. His look is a terror. The thought of home with him. Say, am I as a sheep to the slaughter? But there is something called the peace of God that passes understanding. In marriage, there is something we call the peace test. To marry the man, your conviction must pass the peace test. You are at peace. You are at peace. You know that you are at peace. Let me round off with five cautions. Caution for the singles. A. Do not develop an emotional relationship where you are not interested in marriage. Don't develop an emotional relationship where we see you and the brother all the time. We see you and the sister all the time. What is happening between you? We are just friends. Which kind of friend be that? Find a man like yourself and be just friends with him. Find a woman like yourself and be just friends with her. Because when you continue like that, what I do? What I do? Sitting in the sister's house. They gave you coke. You didn't say no. They gave you wine. Bottle of carpet. You didn't say no. They gave you spaghetti. Coconut rice. Then tomorrow, you bring somebody and say, sister, you know we have been very good friends. I want to introduce to you who I want to marry. Vomit the rice! What kind of problem is that? And you came and said, sister, I just wanted to let you know we have been very good friends and you have been praying with me on this matter of marriage. I have finally come to show you. That is wickedness. As far as the sister is concerned, you are interested in her. She is waiting for you. Matthew 7:7. She is waiting for your asking. Where she can say, you want to marry me? Here am I. Listen. And you came wickedly to say, I want to show you who to marry. Don't play with anybody's emotion like that. Never dare. Anybody is playing around with you like that, tell him, talk on time. Yes, sir. If you have the spirit of dumbness, you can be prayed for. Yes, I don't know if anybody is hearing what I'm saying here. Now see the worst. Sister, I like you. I just like you. So, thank you. That is all I can say for now. Hey! I just like the way you do things. Everything about you is just, I like you. Continue. That is introduction. And he ended there. Can I tell you, young man? That statement equals proposal. Not less, not more. You have declared, it's a declaration of interest. Why should you talk like that with somebody's daughter? Give her hope. She may even call some people and say, the right man has come.
He said he likes everything.
And the guest mother said, so how are you?
She said, hey, mommy, guess what? Somebody came today.
And then here you are, you walk away. And you peace, you scatter somebody. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't give anybody expectation if you have no interest in manifestation. Don't give anybody. That was what I meant by people, young people don't understand relationship dynamics. They don't understand the psychology of the way the minds of people work. The minds of girls and the minds of guys, how it works. Many don't understand. So they bruise a lot of people. They say, I didn't jilt anybody. Some jilted almost 20 people without knowing. Went, came, keep on eating free food. They send you recharge card. You collect. Thank you so much. You are such a nice girl. Anybody will be lucky to have you as a wife. What about you? Anybody. If you are not the body, leave the place alone. Why are you trying to bind onto the action at sight without reaction in mind? If you don't understand chemistry, I won't talk more than that. Caution. Please. If you are not interested, don't develop an emotional relationship. Look at somebody by your side, especially if they are single. Say, did you hear? Let me talk to the girls. Don't waste any man's time if you don't want to marry them. The man is hanging around and you made him hang around. There are three other people. John said, sister, you need to talk to me. He said, I am still praying. Don't be in a hurry now. This thing is something we must find out from God. She's praying nothing. There are three people waiting. He's asking people. There are four people. Can you advise me? This one is a tailor. This one. Don't waste the man's time. Release him to go and find his front. Is there anybody watching from the Facebook branch, YouTube branch, and Area 1 branch that is being blessed? Say aloud, amen. Caution for the single. Number 2, be on the lookout for warning signals in courtship. Those who know how to be angry, they can manifest it small during courtship. Those who have very terrible behavior, if you are very prayerful, God will show you signals. That this man, don't marry him now. The way he's shouting at you now, he can pull a knife if you are married. Be on the lookout. Don't say God did not warn you. Thirdly, never despise the counsel of valuable people who genuinely love you. Pastor, mother, father, especially spiritual people, not just general people. The Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Never despise the counsel of valuable people who genuinely love you. You say, are you sure of this girl? Are you sure of this man? There are one or two things we heard. Don't despise. Number four. Don't start courtship relationship too early if you are not ready to marry within a short time. Don't start courtship relationship too early. You are in SS2. So you're looking for life partner. For what? Year one university. Except you want to marry that man while you are schooling. Which is a possibility. Otherwise, you enter courtship 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. Is it a BSc courtshipology? And it has complications. Relationships are highly emotionally demanding. If you are in the school, your mind is congested with issues of a man or a woman. And of course, very soon you are not careful, you fall into sin. Because you keep on looking at each other continuously. Before you know it, one thing you should know about the human physiology is that there is a voluntary part and an involuntary part to the relationship that happens between a man and a woman. There is a level where it is voluntary. You are the one holding hand. You are the one doing this and that. A level comes where what we call the autonomic nervous system, the sympathetic and parasympathetic, takes over. That's why you see some people say, I didn't know what came on me. I didn't know what happened. All I knew, before I knew it, something has happened. You put yourself in the place where your involuntary nervous system took over. Involuntary nervous system controls the heartbeat. That's why you are not aware that your heart is beating. Controls the breathing rate. Am I communicating at all? So you have a long courtship. Every day you are looking at each other. You start with holding of hand. And then it moves. And then the bed is defiled. And then the future is denied. Number five. Maintain the purity of the marriage bed. Caution for singles. A marriage that will have a future must have the bed undefiled. Marriage is honorable in all, the bed undefiled. Hebrews 13 and in verse 4. When people have what is called when people have premarital sex, sex before marriage, it produces three harvests. First, the harvest of loss of respect, loss of dignity. Your value drops in the eyes of the man, in the eyes of the woman, it dropped. If you are a real man, why couldn't you hold yourself? Girl, you are so cheap like that. I haven't married you yet. I have had you. Am I communicating? There is a lowering. How many of you know there is difference between brand new vehicle and Tucumbo? Big difference. How many of you know that driving a car out of the dealer's shop
The car that has 0000000 on its mileage, the driving it out by 1 meter drops its value. So it is. Say, a drastic crash of dignity. That's why some people say, the man used to love me. I don't know why he suddenly hates me. If this factor is part of what happened, it is part of what could have happened. You see how Ammon hated Tamar worse than how he loved her after this thing happened. Premarital sex lowers respect and dignity. Secondly, it increases mutual suspicion. When you did the illegal with the person you haven't married, there is mutual. Anytime you are coming back, you say, are you sure it's his office you are coming from? Let me see your phone. Who texted you? For one reason or the other, at the back of the mind, this man that could do this thing with you when he didn't marry you, are you sure he couldn't do it with any other person? Mutual suspicion. And thirdly, extramarital tendency. The seed of premarital sex many times will produce a harvest of extramarital issues. Where somebody is in the home but is still looking outside. Under pressure. Pardon me. People can be tempted. That's not what I'm referring to. But this person has a seed in his body. A harvest that was planted. So you don't want to do that. And I believe the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. If you give me 10 minutes, I will talk to just married people in 10 minutes. Will you give it to me? Those of you in the overflow 5 and 6, will you promise that nobody there will shift? Because if I see the camera and I see that you are going, I'll be distracted. Can I have about 10 minutes? And if I'm talking to married people, I am talking to you. Because the single of today is the married of tomorrow. Counsel for the married, number one, possess a solid vision, a strong vision for marital harmony. What you see determines what you seize. What you don't see coming never comes. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Don't ever say, all I want is to be married. I don't want to be single anymore. Everybody is married, meaning me. No. What kind of marriage do you envision? I vowed that what I saw as a child, my children will never see. What my mother saw, my wife will never see. You have a picture. Nothing happens by accident. It has to be calculated incidents. It is what you see coming that comes. Possess a strong vision. And when you come around somebody who has your kind of marriage vision, then you run together. Number two, draw inspiration from exemplary, godly marriages. Draw inspiration. Judges 7:17 said, look at me, as I do, so shall you do. Inspiration. I drew inspiration from Kenneth Copeland and Gloria Copeland before I ever married. From T.L. Osborne, Tommy Lee Osborne, and Daisy Washburn Osborne, his wife. From Charles Hunter and Frances Hunter. They were couples that I saw the dignity of the home side by side with the dignity of God. I looked at them and I said, if it is possible, they are showing you their pictures. If it is possible for this man and his wife to be in harmony like this, serving God, shoulder to shoulder, then that is how my home shall be. Look at such homes. Draw inspiration. Think about the steps they take. Draw inspiration. Number three, maintain genuine spirituality. That's right. I see you all in the overflow 5 and 6. Maintain genuine spirituality. Genuine. Genuine love for God. it will translate into love for your wife, love for your husband.
Maintain it. The fourth one is almost the same. Number four, be a real Christian. Be a real Christian. Practice Christianity in your house. Did you hear what I just said? Be a real Christian. And real Christians love their neighbors as in the welfare of your partner. Honey, are you okay? Are you really all right? I'm not seeing you smiling. Is something bothering you? Is there any way I can help? The welfare. A human being is around you, not a stone, not rock, not wood.
Number six, be an investor in the life of your partner. An investor. Do all you can to bring out the best out of them. Find out about the visions and the passions troubling them.
My wife wants to know how I'm doing and what she can do to help what is in my heart. I want to find out what is in her heart. Be an investor. My wife brought many things out of me, and I brought too many things out of her. Be an investor. An investor. Enter.
You are in. Married.
Are we? Number seven. Be trustworthy. Be trustworthy. Trustworthy. Be trustworthy.
A faithful person. Somebody your wife can trust. Somebody your husband can trust. I like to let us know that trust is the bedrock of relationship. The end of trust is the destruction of the home.
Am I communicating? When the wife says, I don't really know who I am married to, it's a challenge. Wife is working on the phone. Husband is coming. And vice versa. You told your wife a lie and she found out. You told your husband a lie. And he found her. Like the man who has a child out of wedlock and the wife is not aware until they're married. Like the woman who removed her womb before marriage and the husband was not aware. What do you want to do to the man? Trust.
It is possible to make mistakes, but be trustworthy. Let your husband, your wife be able to vouch.
Am I communicating at all? Somebody say aloud, amen. And help, like Dr. Mr. Nenche said, help your wife to trust you. When your husband tells you things, don't use it to insult him. Don't use it. He tells you things about his family. Don't bring it up like you told me the other day. And you know, one of the major challenges of women is talk. I'm sorry, with all due respect, there is a gift of talking. The man looks at him, see a couple, say, oh, how are you? The man says, oh, I'm fine. My name is Paul. Your name is Gabriel Oro. God bless you. I'm happy to see you. Yes, so we'll see you later, okay? The woman says, oh, madam, how are you? I like your hair. This cloth, who bought it for your husband? How many children you have? I have four. Just pressure of speech. Trust. This is from
Lordship. This is where the trust must be worked upon. There are some lies you can tell that can follow you for life. Trust. And trust, you don't force it, you earn it. And if trust was lost, it can be regained. By doing things that makes you trustworthy. By bringing yourself into accountability. Be trustworthy. Was that number 7? Am I going to number 8 now? Maintain true friendship. True friendship. Don't be in a position where somebody else is closer to you than your wife. Closer to you than your husband. Am I communicating? I have many people I know, but globally, nobody is closer to me than my wife. It is scriptural. Nobody can be closer to me than my bone and my flesh. But your wife is seeing you with somebody all the time. If she asks questions, you got angry. Your husband is seeing you with somebody, especially the opposite sex, all the time. He asks, you get angry. He has the right to ask. True friends. Be friends. All this boss attitude. And like I said, submission is not slavery. Friends. There are husbands and wives who never crack jokes. Don't laugh together. Knock, knock, knock. Vroom. Who is coming? A guy is coming. Everybody take cover. Take cover. Take cover. Take cover. Take cover. Deal with his wife. Friends, that is why some young ladies make the mistake. You say, oh, that man who you want to marry. That was number 8. Maintain true friendship. That was number 8, right? Number 9. Possess forgiveness. 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 Husband, forgive your wife. Wife, forgive your husband. I learned from Ruth, the wife of Bill Graham, that a good marriage happens when two people who agree to forgive each other for life come together. But whatever happens, I forgive you for life. Possess forgiveness. Are you ready for the final? Finally, number 10, be a continuous learner. Learner. I am learning. My wife is still learning. A continuous learner. Dr. Mr. Nenche, I do not want to interrupt your writing, but I need your assistance. If you give me the privilege, I will not abuse it. When we married, realized that there were 2 or 3 things that we both needed to learn. When I say, honey, have Tom Tom. She said, is my breath okay? So it's not a matter of breath. I am having it and I wanted to give you. Your breath, no problem. You say one thing, and then the point, there was a point where she told me what some time. Do I always do everything wrong?
I said, no. Because I kept on saying, do it like this, not like this, like that, not like this. Because when people see us now, they will think that two people just arrived from heaven. His husband has never corrected her. Fa, 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 fa. His wife has never said anything. For where? I said that I correct. So, she said, do I always do everything wrong? I said, no. Not that you always, you want to say something?
Can't I get it right?
Yes.
Can't I get it right?
I said, no. It's not that you did anything.
Do I always do everything wrong?
Do I always do everything wrong? Can't I get it right? I said, you are good. But we are doing what to do to be better.
And you said, you are trying to present me to yourself as you want me to be.
That was what Jesus said, that he might present to himself a bride without a glorious bride. That was what I said. I'm presenting you.
So as difficult as it may seem at every point in time, I have to keep in view the fact that if this is worked on now, later it doesn't have to be reworked. I will be in the image of how you want me to be.
That's perfect.
So it makes it swallowable.
And corrections don't have to come like condemnation.
Or quarrel.
It doesn't come with condemnation. It doesn't come with, you are a devil. It doesn't come with, how did I get to marry such a person? It came with affirmation. It came with appreciation. There are some people, the only thing they see is what the wife did wrong. As you see things to correct, also see things to commend. And let them happen with almost equality of frequency, if not commendation more. So, I can give her, the second and minister here, I can't go, I ask her to go. There are times where she said, let me even present to you my sermon outline. So you see, in case there's anything I want to say that is not right. Now it happens both ways. Husband, submitting yourself one to another. She sees things and I say, excuse me, sir, do you think that this could have been done this way? Or do you think that that could have been said that way? Or do you think like this? I say, yes, sorry. It's an oversight. You got the point. You really got the point. Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven, not eight, not nine, not ten. There are some men who are too masculine to be counseled. God will help us. Stand up on your feet. Take your seat. The way you are sitting, as if I say something wrong. All right. Within 3 minutes to 5 minutes, we shall pray and go. Again, those of you in the overflow 5, you have done very well. Overflow 6, overflow 4, everywhere. And we shall be up. Now stand with a shout of praise. Hold the hand of somebody near you. Married people, I'm so sorry. I talked too much to the singles until I had such a short time. But was it okay? Maybe next time I'll take more time with you. And any other person within any category, I am fully convinced that there is something in what I have said that has ministered one way or the other. And I believe that the Lord will help us all. And anybody in any form of crisis situation, God will come through for you and change your story. Hold the hand of someone near you. Lift the hands and let us appreciate God. Appreciate Him for what we have heard tonight. Appreciate Him tonight. Appreciate Him tonight. Is that In Jesus' precious name. Because of the so many things we dealt with tonight, there are only three prayers that we are going to pray. Lift up your two hands. Lift your hands. And you are going to now say, Father, I ask you to help me find your will, follow your will in marital life, in family life, in my destiny as a whole. To find your will, to follow your will. Now when we say find your will, it doesn't mean only finding who to marry, but finding out what God wants you to do per time, per situation. Lift your hands and say, Father, help me, Lord, to find your will, to follow your will in marital life, in marital destiny. Help me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and speak to God. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. In Jesus' name. Second prayer, lift your hands and say, Father, anywhere I missed it before, have mercy upon me. Give me an opportunity to do it right. Anywhere I missed it before, have mercy on me, Lord. Give me an opportunity to do it right. Open your mouth and speak to God. Anywhere I missed it. Anywhere. Jesus' precious name. Lift your hands and then again say after me, say, Father, help me to be everything you want me to be in my journey of life. Help me to do everything you want me to do. One more time, Father, help me to be everything you want me to be and to do everything you want me to do on my journey of life. I receive your help, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and speak to God. Jesus. Please lift up your two hands. You will tell God, we are a few minutes and we are done. Just ask God what something you want him to do for you. If there is anything you saw in our lives that maybe it may not be too much, but 24 years It's not 24 days. Lord, help me to have results that last to some extent. Whatever. Father, let me find the right man. Help me to find the right woman. Father, intervene in my home. Give us harmony. Father, intervene with my children. Father, give us the fruit of the womb. Like you have blessed this family. Whatever it is, in 1 minute, speak to God. And by this time next year, you will have its testimony to tell.
Is what my heart cries for. May I decrease on your name. You make me. May you be the Lord of all. Oh Lord, you ain't gonna stop me. He's what my heart cries for, Lord. May I decrease. May you be the Lord of all. May I decrease God in me.
We are going to make declarations. We are going to have a follow-up marriage and family convocation. Give the Lord the praise. Because there is so much to be said today, and many was not said. And this is Monday. This is 1 month exactly from today, right? The 14th of May 2018. We'll have it. It is the day after Mother's Day. Sunday was said to be Mother's Day, and the following day going to be family, marital and family convocation, to be well announced and well publicized so that God can help us rescue families and marriages and deliver our generation from this attack of the devil on homes. And I believe that the Lord will help us. In Jesus' precious name. Alright.
Those of you in front here, pray this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity that I have today to make my ways right with you. Father, today I ask that you forgive me all my sins. Come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. Wash away my sins. Make me a new person in the name of Jesus. Right now, from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet, I receive total liberty in the name of Jesus. I am now born again. Jesus is now the Lord of my life in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Father, we ask that the hold of sin be broken of these lives and that today will mark a turning point. Receive help in Jesus' name. Amen. Is there anybody ready to receive something at all? Like we do in impartation services, lift your right hand on your head and lift the other hand up and receive what God has for you. Dr. Mr. Nencho will start with the declaration and then I'll follow it up. Yes, yes, yes. We have people standing almost like overflow 8 around the roadside there. the Lord visit you there as well. In Jesus' name. Go ahead.
Okay. We're going to pray now. Maybe your hand can come off your head just transiently. I'm going to lead in a general prayer. Some points might relate to you, might be relevant for you. Some points might not be. For instance, if I declare and ask you to repeat, I set myself free from spirit husband. You are not a woman, so that doesn't apply to you. But just go ahead and pray along. So that when we say, I set myself free from spirit wife, and it applies to you, the other people praying are supporting you. When we say, I ask for forgiveness for premarital sexual relationship, and it doesn't apply to you, just go ahead, let's all pray together. You are supporting the other person so that when we are praying your points, do you understand that? So let's pray with all enthusiasm. Now, you can continue. Say after me, Lord Jesus, tonight, I thank you because I'm your child. I thank you for setting me free from sin and from reproach and from the hold of the devil. Today, I come to you in the name of Jesus, being in covenant with Jesus Christ through salvation. I declare that I cannot be in covenant with the devil at the same time. Therefore, tonight, I renounce and denounce every covenant I have entered into knowingly or unknowingly, or was entered on my behalf, that is fighting my life or fighting my destiny. Tonight, I call your full name. Renounce every satanic covenant and every satanic yoke and every satanic hold on my life. In the name of Jesus, I disconnect myself from every antimarital spells, from every familial spells, from every curse of hell, every witchcraft curse that is working against my life, working against my destiny, causing me near success syndrome or failure at the edge of success, or causing me inability to have children, or causing me delay in marriage, or causing me to continuously fight battles in my marriage. Today, you satanic spells, you satanic covenants, you witchcraft holds, I disconnect myself from you in Jesus' name. Help out there, yeah. So I set myself free right now in the name of Jesus. Every mark on my body by which I am identified for diabolical purposes, I disconnect from you in Jesus' name. And now I also ask for forgiveness for premarital sex that may be fighting my life or my destiny. Today, I am sorry and I receive total forgiveness and I receive total liberty from the consequences of what from my life. In the name of Jesus, every veil on my body driving men from me or driving women from me, I tear it off now. I receive my freedom. I get my establishment maritally today in Jesus' name.
Amen. To get married or fighting those already married, today, you are broken! In the name of Jesus, every man confusing you from finding who to marry, today, by this time next year, I decree you are already settled maritally.
Amen.
Everybody in a wrong relationship that will lead you into a broken home, I decree your eyes shall be open to see the wrongness of the relationship.
Amen.
And God shall connect you to the right person.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every marriage here that is facing crisis, or those watching everywhere are connected, divine intervention is your portion. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every family in stress, financial stress, career stress, today the stress is arrested.
Amen.
Everyone who has family where children are afflicted, inherited diseases, sickle cell anemia, HIV AIDS, diabetes, hemorrhoids, eye conditions, ear conditions, epilepsy, convulsions, mental conditions, every child under every form of torment belonging to any family here, sickle cell anemia, you affliction, you are arrested forever. From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, we declare the children healed. Every family battling with a wayward child, a straying child, today that spell is broken. Anyone who made marital mistakes before, divine intervention.
Amen.
Help from God.
Amen.
To do it right.
Yes.
Is released upon you.
Amen.
Everybody grieving from marriage failures, traumas, emotional issues, the only healing that can come from God is released upon you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Mothers and fathers, whatever you face that was not right in your life, your children will never face it.
Amen.
Your children will have better life than yourself.
Amen.
And now I take authority over every ancestral curse, generational curse, family curse or covenant. Whatever is affecting your life, your family, your children, it is broken now.
Amen.
Those trusting God for the fruit of the womb, by this time next year, your children are in your hand.
Amen.
So shall it be.
Amen. Amen.
Stretch your hands in front of me. For singles, the wrong ring will not enter your hand.
Amen.
Spirit wives and spirit children are hereby arrested.
Amen.
I speak to everyone here. The resources these hands need, they are released into the hand. From the north and the south.
Yes.
Our wedding anniversary from God is anything concerning marriage and anything you desire that you have seen in this ministry or in this life or this altar is hereby released for you. Your hands shall not be empty. So shall it be.
Amen.
No, you cannot be anointed and be smelling. You cannot be anointed and your destiny be stinking. You cannot be anointed and your destiny be rottening. No!